Turn with me now in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 14 through to 16, which is also our text for this evening. God's word reads as follows. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today is, of course, Ascension Day, 40 days after Easter Sunday. Many Reformed churches will celebrate this event of Jesus into heaven by holding a special worship service, while other Reformed churches will recognize Jesus' ascension into heaven on either the Sunday before or after. The URC church order certainly encourages its observance along with other special days. On Christmas and Good Friday, extra worship services are held not just by Reformed churches, but in almost all churches of every denomination. Christmas, Good Friday, Thanksgiving are also national holidays and are celebrated by family gatherings and socials. And then there's Ascension Day. Unfortunately, the Lord's ascension into heaven doesn't get anywhere near the attention it deserves. It's not a statutory holiday. There's no special family gatherings today. Not all denominations will even recognize Ascension Day with a special worship service. Even among our own members, perhaps, we needed that reminder that today is Ascension Day and that there was a service this evening. And yet, it is on Ascension Day that we congregations celebrate the coronation of Jesus as King. As He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, Jesus is already now the reigning King of glory to whom all authority has been given in heaven and on earth. Along with His ascension into heaven, Jesus then also fulfills His promise to send the Holy Spirit, which we celebrate on Pentecost. So let's look together this evening at another important aspect of Jesus' ascension into heaven. We proceed on the theme, Jesus is our heavenly high priest, noting three things in particular. That He is, first of all, the great high priest. That He is, secondly, the sympathetic high priest. And that He is, thirdly, the gracious high priest. First, the ascended Jesus is our great high priest. Look at verse 14 with me. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Jesus is the great high priest with the emphasis on great. But what makes Him great? Well, first and foremost, Jesus is not just an ordinary priest in the order of or in the line of Aaron. No, He is the great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. That is, His priesthood has been granted to Him, has been given to Him, not by birth line, but by God Himself. Secondly, what makes Jesus the great high priest is that rather than entering into the Holy of Holies in the temple, like all the other priests, the writer of Hebrews tells us He has passed through the heavens. That is, Jesus passed through the heavens in His ascension into the very presence of Almighty God. The Old Testament temple was divided into three sections. There was the outer courtyard, which was open to the people, and the main objects were the wash basin, along with the altar on which sacrifices were continually being offered up to the Lord by the priests, day after day, year after year, continuously without end. The middle section, the holy place, was accessible only to the priests. The main objects were the table with the showbread and the lampstand. And right in front of that curtain, dividing the middle section from the Holy of Holies, was an altar of incense symbolizing the prayers being raised up to God by His covenant people. And then behind the curtain was called the Holy of Holies, which was symbolic of God's dwelling place among His covenant people. The main objects were the Ark of the Covenant covered with a lid, upon which blood was sprinkled only once a year, on the Day of Atonement, on which the Jews still celebrate what's called Yom Kippur. You can find that procedure of the Day of Atonement in Leviticus 16. But every year there was a designated priest. And that priest, being a sinner himself, first had to go through special offerings to purify himself before he would enter into that Holy of Holies. The priest would then pass through the other two sections of the temple, and once he entered into the Holy of Holies, he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat as a sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people. And once that ceremony was performed, the priest then would immediately exit the Holy of Holies. He was never permitted to remain in the presence of Almighty God, as it were. But notice, Jesus did not pass through the two sections of the temple to enter into the Holy of Holies. But as it says, He passed through the heavens. What does that mean? Well, the writer of Hebrews is referring here to Jesus' ascension into heaven. Jesus is the great high priest who offered himself as an atoning sacrifice on the cross when he entered into the Holy of Holies, that is, when he ascended into the very presence of God, as God receives the Son, restoring him to his former glory, because his sacrifice has fully satisfied all the demands of God's divine justice. His sacrifice appeased the wrath of God. The shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross did what all the other sacrifices could not do, to wash away our sins. His body was crucified, and His precious blood was shed for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Christ, the great high priest, accomplished what all the other priests and what all the other sacrifices failed to do, to make full satisfaction, to atone for our sin. At His ascension, Jesus then passes through not the outer court, not the inner court, but rather passes through the heavens, and He enters into the sacred dwelling of His Father, with His earthly mission fully accomplished to the complete satisfaction of His Heavenly Father. As it says in Hebrews 9:11-12, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained redemption. With his own blood, sacrificed on Calvary's cross, he ascends into heaven and enters the most holy place once for all, having obtained redemption. Unlike all earthly priests before him, Jesus is the great high priest who now remains in the Holy of Holies, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father. What's so special about Ascension Day? Congregation, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens. With his own blood, he entered into the Holy of Holies to make once for all that perfect satisfaction to atone for sin. Our greatest need, our deliverance from sin, has been met through our ascended King, the great high priest. Salvation has been accomplished. Jesus saves. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. The book of Hebrews sets out to reveal to its reader the supremacy of Christ. And with his ascension into heaven, we are given to see, congregation, the supremacy of Jesus, the great high priest, over all other priests and over all other sacrifices. What's special about Ascension Day? Jesus, the Son of God, the great high priest, passes through the heavens. Much to God's satisfaction and much to our comfort, Jesus fulfilled and Jesus accomplished what no other priest and what no other sacrifice could do, to atone for our sin. Second, the ascended Jesus is our sympathetic high priest. Look at verse 15 with me. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here again, the author of Hebrews draws our attention to the supremacy of Christ as that great high priest by pointing out that ongoing work of Jesus, who can sympathize with our weaknesses and who was in all points tempted as we are tempted, yet without sin. All the other priests who ever served in the temple have since died. And with the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, their service to God and to God's covenant people has ceased. But not so for Jesus. Jesus is the great high priest because his service to the Father continues in his daily care for God's covenant people for whom he laid down his life. He is the great high priest who lives and who reigns from his throne in heaven, who can identify with all our sorrows and suffering, with our life of trials and hardships. Jesus faced temptation. There in the wilderness, the devil tempted Jesus to seek his own glory and to do the will of his own will instead of that of the Father. There on the cross, the people, the crowd, taunted Jesus to come down off the cross, which was nothing more than the devil tempting Jesus to abandon his earthly mission of salvation. Yes, Jesus most certainly knows a thing or two about temptation. Absolutely. And so in all our temptations, whatever they might be, congregation, let us cry out to him in our battle, that we would be conquerors over temptation. I don't know if we can appreciate enough that when faced with temptation, Jesus understands and he can sympathize, for he too was tempted as we are, yet without sin. He can also sympathize with us as the eternal Son of God who took upon himself our human nature with all its weaknesses and limitations. He lived here on earth and dwelt among sinners. Here on earth he encountered the realities of sin, the consequences of sin, even the terrible injustice he suffered in the courts of the Sanhedrin, before the Roman courts, leading to his crucifixion. Jesus, the great high priest, can readily sympathize with all human feelings, emotions, pain, and suffering. Here on earth, Jesus faced disappointment, loneliness, weariness of body and soul. He endured hatred, envy, betrayal, rejection, and persecution. He too experienced not only the death of a loved one, but in his humanity, he experienced death itself. He too traveled through the valley of the shadow of death, and yet, congregation, he did it alone. Abandoned by his disciples, forsaken by the Father. Oftentimes we experience things in life thinking to ourselves that no one really understands, or there's no one who can sympathize along with us. But that's not really true, is it? The ascension of Jesus into heaven means for us that we have in Christ a great high priest who fully understands and who fully sympathizes with us. We have in Jesus someone who is not only there for us, but someone who has actually been there before us. He ascended into heaven only because he once descended to dwell here on earth, to be our great high priest. Beloved of the Lord, do we realize enough the comfort we have as Christians to know and to believe that the ascended Lord Jesus Christ fully understands and sympathizes along with us? Yes, even in our temptations. Yes, even in our deepest sorrows and sufferings. And now that he ascended into heaven, he also sent the Holy Spirit to help us in our battle against temptation, to comfort us, to empower us, that we might persevere in true faith through the journey of life. Jesus not only sympathizes with our weaknesses, was not only tempted like we are, yet without sin, but congregation, his ascension means that he sent forth the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to our aid. We overcome temptation and we endure the trials and the sufferings, the hardships, the sorrows of life. How? Not on our own strength, but with the gracious help of the Holy Spirit, sent by Jesus, the great high priest, from his throne in heaven. What a tremendous comfort. Herein we are given to see once again the supremacy of Christ, as the great high priest. Much to our comfort, Jesus is the great high priest in heaven who can sympathize with our weaknesses and who in all points was tempted as yet we were without sin. We have a high priest to cry out to. And sometimes that's enough, isn't it? To get us through trials. To get us through valleys. To get us through the tough spots in life. That someone else understands what we're going through. What we're experiencing. And congregation, that someone is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. People will inevitably fail us. People will inevitably disappoint us. They don't necessarily always know what to say. They don't necessarily understand. More importantly, we look to Jesus, who ascended into heaven, who sits at the right hand of God the Father, and He will never fail you, and He will never disappoint you. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our limitations. And He can sympathize with us. And He was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus demonstrated His compassion for sinners by His incarnation, by His miracles, by His entire life of suffering for our sake, even death on a cross for our salvation. We have, congregation, we have a complete, sympathetic high priest in Christ Jesus. He knows and He understands and He will supply all our needs, everything we need for body and soul and life and in death has been provided for us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. What a tremendous comfort. And third, the ascended Jesus is the most gracious high priest. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Back in the ancient days, you remember that rulers of kings and nations were simply unapproachable. Recall how Esther risked her own life to approach the king without an invitation from the king. Well, here we are. We are given a special invitation to come boldly before the throne of grace. But on what basis? We have a great high priest who passed through the heavens having obtained atonement for sin. He has reconciled us to the Father. We have a great high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, who is tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so we come with all our weaknesses, with all our sinfulness, as those who have been made perfect in the righteousness obtained for us by our great high priest. What a wonderful invitation. Because of the person, because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that great high priest, we now have the boldness, we now have the confidence, we now, above all, have the privilege to approach our Father in prayer. Boldness does not mean self-confidence. It does not mean arrogance. But in humility, Why humility? Because we come at the invitation of Jesus. We come based in the confidence of what Jesus, our high priest, has obtained for us. We come as unworthy sinners for whom access to the Father has been obtained for us through our Lord Jesus Christ, who passed through the heavens. One author put it this way, the merciful and faithful high priest invites the weak and tempted sinner to come to the throne of grace. He ascended Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, grants to us redeemed sinners permission and serves as our mediator to granting us access to the Father. But with that gracious invitation, we must also heed that invitation to come. Knowing our sin and the wonderful work of our great high priest, let us earnestly then seek God's mercy. Mercy in prayer, asking for God's forgiveness through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do we? Do we? Do we come broken, humbled, genuine sorrow for sin, pleading for His mercy, knowing our weaknesses in the constant battle against temptation? Let us earnestly seek God's help and in times of need in prayer, asking God to help us to resist temptation, that the devil would flee from us, and that to help us. But do we? Why are we so prone to the same temptations again and again and again? Do we come to the throne of grace? Do we come empowered through the Holy Spirit? Congregation, every one of us needs help. Help in fighting against sin and temptation. Help in running the journey of life, a life marred by sin and its ugly consequences and all its terrible realities. And now we're given this beautiful invitation by Jesus, the great high priest. Jesus summons us. Come to the throne room of grace. God's word commands us, pray without ceasing. How's our prayer life? Has the invitation of Jesus fallen on deaf ears? The psalmist says, pour out your heart before Him. Pour it out. Cry out to Him. He understands. He sympathizes with your weakness. He understands temptation. The psalmist calls us, cast your burdens upon Him. Do we? Or do we carry them with us? What is the antidote, the cure to worry and to being anxious? Philippians 4:6 provides the answer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Is that what we're doing? Being anxious for nothing. Why? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And what's the result? verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace, which surpasses all understanding. Are you missing that peace in your life? Is it because you have not heeded Christ's invitation to come to the throne room of grace? Jesus is our mediator, through whom we have access to the throne room of God. What a blessing. What a tremendous comfort as the redeemed in Christ to take it to the Lord in prayer. And here again, congregation, the writer of Hebrews demonstrates the supremacy of Christ, doesn't he? We don't need priest to access the throne room of God. We don't need Mary. We don't need angels. We don't need patron saints. We don't need the Pope through whom to access the throne room of God on our behalf. No. We have direct access through Jesus, the great high priest, in whose name we pray. Ascension Day, the ascension of Jesus into heaven, may not receive anywhere near the attention as Christmas, Good Friday, or Easter. But throughout Scripture and here in the book of Hebrews, we are shown once again what a remarkably glorious and what a most significant event Jesus' ascension into heaven really is in the course of redemptive history. As we heard again this evening, the ascension of Jesus, the great high priest, is of great comfort to us today and to the glory and praise of God our Father. Amen.